So, you know, I do love the Popeyes. I don't understand why Popeyes is not a sponsor on the station. For all the love they get. Love that chicken from Popeyes. No sponsorship.
Yeah, you would think one of our salespeople would have jumped on that.
I'd be a perfect spokesperson for Popeyes. I don't know anybody who loves them as much as I do. All right, so the Lakers stand pat at the trade deadline. There was some percolation, let's call it, about a potential trade with Toronto for Kyle Lowry. In the end, it sounds as though, listening to sort of the contours of everything from Woj and Brian Windhorst and all those ESPN guys, that the Toronto Raptors wanted some package that included Talen Horton Tucker, and the Lakers were unwilling to include him in any deal. And you can make a case that that trade is for tomorrow and not for today. You can make a case that that is a long-term move and not a short-term move, and you can debate whether or not that's smart given the fact that you've got LeBron James in his age 36 season. And by the way, Shams Charania reported today that LeBron with the high ankle sprain could be gone 4 to 6 weeks from the point of the injury, which would have been last week. So he's going to be gone for a while. But not pushing your chips to the middle of the table, which you could say that's what you did by not doing the Kyle Lowry deal or not doing a Kyle Lowry deal, is not something that the Lakers elected to do right now.
Well, there's a couple of things here. Number one, you got to make it clear that if the Lakers were to have done this deal, it wouldn't have just been for Talen Horton Tucker.
Right. It would have been for KCP and Schroeder and Taylor Horton Tucker.
So you're taking three rotation players off a championship team and sending them to Toronto for one guy, albeit a really, really good player.
Yes.
So I guess the first question I would ask you is, do you feel the Lakers are the favorites to win the title if they get LeBron and AD back healthy before the playoffs?
I do.
All right. If you do, then you don't make the deal.
Well, no, because you've got a chance to double down. You've got a chance to super team it. You've got a chance to do what conceivably Brooklyn has done.
Yeah, but you're taking three rotation guys and you're trading them for one. So let's say you do that deal. Let's play it out to the end.
Okay.
Kyle Lowry comes, but your two starting guards are out. Okay. Lowry becomes a starting guard.
Yep.
Who slides into that extra guard spot?
Well, I mean, I think conceivably, at least according to Dave McMenamin, it looks like Avery Bradley could be a buyout candidate
but that's not done yet. So for now, you'd put Caruso in there, I would assume.
Correct,
He's a really good player. But then you have almost no bench. The Lakers have the second highest scoring bench in the NBA. They average 50 points a game off the bench. And now you have basically decimated the bench and you've given up some defense because KCP is one of your best on-ball defenders. And Schroeder, by the way, is a lot younger than Lowry.
Schroeder's been great.
I think Schroeder is 28, maybe 29, and Lowry is 35. So is Lowry that much of an upgrade over Schroeder that you would also give up THT and KCP? That's a coin flip of a question. For me, I'm okay that they didn't.
Yeah, I'm okay that they didn't. I mean, it's an interesting strategy. I mean, I think, you know, it's hard to evaluate this team without LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And, you know, the one thing I'll say is I'm hoping improves during this stretch is that they find a little groove on the three-point shot because they're number 22 now in the league in three-point shooting in a league that is really dominated by three-point shooting. Do you know who the number one three-point shooting team is?
I think it's the Clippers.
Clippers, 41%, almost 42%, which is crazy. The Jazz are 40%.
That'll go down. The number will go down now that they traded Lou Williams today. But Rondo,
Brooklyn's,
I think, is going to make them a
better team. Milwaukee's 40%. And the Lakers are down at 35%. So hopefully they develop a little bit of a three-point groove here because they're going to need that once they get to the
postseason. Well, you know what
they
shot last year when they won the title?
I think 21st. Was that right?
Yeah, but you know what percentage they shot?
Oh, I guess 36%.
35.
Right
where they are now.
So exactly where they are.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, they just can't get any worse. By the way, I thought the Clippers improved by picking up Rondo today, and I also think Denver improved. They picked up both JaVale McGee and, most importantly, Aaron Gordon.
Yeah.
That Aaron Gordon trade, they gave up Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and a first-round pick. For Aaron Gordon, That I would have thought they would have had to give up a much higher load for that than to, you know, to get a guy like Aaron Gordon who could be a potential all-star. So now, Mace, they can actually move Paul Millsap to the bench, and their starting front line could become Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., and Nikola Jokic with Jamal Murray in the backcourt.
Yeah, right.
You know, so that's a good – I think Denver got better today. I think the Clippers got better today. And now if you're a Laker fan like me, you watch the buyout market.
I think Miami got better today.
Yeah, by adding Oladipo. But watch the buyout market if you're a Laker fan. You're going to hear a lot of big names over the next 3 or 4 days. You mentioned one of them, Mace, and I think – that the Lakers, well, just look at last year.
The league, I'll just say this. Brian Windhorst says there is this general sense in the league from the people he talks to that Andre Drummond, his preference is to play for the Lakers. So there's that. LaMarcus Aldridge, and let me see who wrote this. This is just listed as ESPN staff. Adrian Wojnarowski says that the Miami Heat are expected to be the front runner for LaMarcus Aldridge. So they are loading up too. And as Dave McMenamin pointed out, Avery Bradley is potentially a buyout candidate. And he's in Houston now, and he would be a perfect fit for the Lakers. So the buyout market is going to be really interesting here over the next couple of weeks. And John, you say that now that the trade deadline is gone, now is the time things to start to move on the buyout market.
Right. And these guys got to clear waivers, which most of them will because their contracts are so big. Nobody went. You pick a guy up on waivers, you got to pay his full contract.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't want to spend that kind of money when you can get them for much less. So I think all these guys clear waivers, and then they can go play for whoever they want. It's the exact same process that Blake Griffin used to get to Brooklyn last week. So that's what you got to watch over the next few days. By the way, we can take some calls on this if you want. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Did the Lakers do the right thing by standing pat? And, you know, the Twitter reaction, you can tweet us anytime you want. Twitter at Venice Mace. I'm at LA Ireland.
Twitter loves THT.
Right. I was just going to say, isn't most of your Twitter saying, I'm glad we kept THT?
Oh, no question. No question. It is. Yeah, it is. And, you know, at the same time, I put out this question. What will the Lakers' record be in the next 10 games? And I 10-0. Listed the 10 games.
10-0.
Let me just read you a sampling. And fans are being pretty realistic. 3-7, says Richard Olmos. The American Tragedy says 2-8. Steve says 3-7. Jordan says 4-6. Mike Morales says 2-8. Santiago Alvarez says 2-8. Rams and Lakers says 2-8. Daniel Gonzalez 1-9. Lou Primo Chicles 1-9. So it goes on and on. But everybody seems to be very realistic about
that?
What it's going to look like.
Where are you on that?
3-7.
I thought you were 2-8.
No, I'm 3-7.
And then what's Michael?
Michael is 4-6.
Okay. And I'm 10-0.
You're 10-0.
Yeah, okay. So I think
you're a Homer Laker troll.
Yes. The schedule, is, particularly that one road trip they go on when they go back east.
At Toronto, at Miami, at Brooklyn, at the Knicks.
Yeah, that's – and remember, at Toronto isn't really going to Toronto. You go to
Tampa. Yeah, true. You go to Tampa. Yeah.
But that actually starts with a Clipper game on a Sunday. They play the Clippers at 12:30 on Sunday, April 4th, and that actually is part of that road trip. But since it's at Staples Center, it shouldn't really count. So it's Clippers, Raptors, Heat, Nets, all in the same week. That's a pretty tough week when you're missing your two top guys.
And you've got them going 10-0.
Yeah, and when they come back from that trip finishes with games in New York and Charlotte. Did you see the next three home games?
No.
Boston, Utah, Utah again.
Oh.
So it's April is a hard month on the schedule.
And again, if you're just tuning in, I'm not sure if I mentioned it this segment or not, but Shams Charania reported that LeBron James is expected to be gone for 4 to 6 weeks, starting from the point of the injury, which was last week. So we're looking at mid-April at the earliest, April the 15th probably at the earliest, something like that.
Yeah, that's the night of the Celtics game. And Anthony Davis, we should get an update before the end of this week, maybe over the next couple of days, we'll get an update on AD. But, you know, they're proceeding with caution. On both of these guys. So, and by the way, even if they like, for example, they cleared Marc Gasol to come back the other day. And even once he got cleared, they took another 3 or 4 days to ramp him up. And tonight he's going to play. He's only probably going to play about 15 minutes. But I would assume that'll be the same with AD. You know, once they clear him, if he hasn't played in a couple of months, they'll ramp him up rather than just throw him out there.
Here's Jay Williams on the Keyshawn Morning Show talking about LeBron's injury and what could happen to the Lakers because of it.
But here's why it's actually feasible to see. Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, good players. Mm-hmm. Dennis Schroeder is a really good player.
Yep. Yeah.
All those other guys are kind of ancillary players. They're not used to being the guy. You're in the daunted Western Conference where on the back end, they have one of the most difficult schedules left in the game of basketball.
Yeah.
If you're telling me LeBron James could be out for 2 to 3 weeks, that's what they're saying the timetable is. Now, I think he's superhuman.
Or a month.
I think he's superhuman. I think he could be back before then. But yeah, let's say on the safe side, you're saying 2 to 3 weeks. AD's been out since February 14th. It's been 5.5 weeks, right? Like, we're trying to figure out timeline on that. It's easy to see them drop. I mean, out of their next 10, 15 games, if they drop 7 or 8, they could be in that 6-7 seed range. Well, you could be talking about the Lakers playing in the play-in tournament for sure.
And, you know, I think realistically, the way we've described the schedule, and hopefully we get a boost from those guys when they come back in late April, both Anthony Davis and LeBron James. But it is realistic now to think they are, four games out of the seven.
Okay.
They got a 4-game lead on Dallas for the seven seed. So,
and I like Dallas. Michael doesn't like Dallas, but I actually think Dallas is going to be a playoff team this year. I just love the way Luka plays.
And but the point is, the Lakers are dangerously close, and maybe after the stretch of games, could conceivably be a play-in team.
Oh yeah, that's true.
If you're the seven, you only need to win one game.
Right, but I think that. The way I will agree with Jay is if you just look at the people the Lakers are putting on the floor right now, I'm surprised it'll be favored in any of those games in April. You know, just because you look at all those other teams have at least one star, and in some cases two. So, the Lakers, it's an uphill battle. But if I still say that if they get in 1 through 10 anywhere, nobody's going to want to play them. That the other team will be mad that they drew the Lakers rather than the other way around. The play-in tournament, I was hoping they'd avoid because, frankly, it would buy them a few days off, which I think they could use before the playoffs start. But if they got to play in it, they got to play in it. And bring it on. You know, I think they can be, if LeBron and AD have to play in that play-in tournament, I think the Lakers are just going to steamroll
people. Oh, yeah, give me the Lakers. Give me the Lakers. And somebody's going to have a really rough draw. I mean, if the Lakers wind up the 8, all of a sudden Utah's playing the Lakers with Anthony Davis and LeBron James in the first round of the playoffs. Not the way they drew it up at all. 877-710-ESPN. Coming up next, John, I've got all kinds of details about the new guidelines for going to Dodger Stadium. Have you seen any of this?
No.
Yeah, brand new guidelines
now,
for to go.
I haven't been vaccinated. Am I allowed to go?
I will tell you next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, what's going on? Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you. Without you guys, we would not be able to do this stupid show
Mace,
every day.
We got Bill Walton coming up at 3:30.
Yeah.
Sedano has predicted that because Bill is so long-winded that we will not have time for Game of Games, nor will his show start on time. He thinks Bill Walton is going to take, when we have him on at 3:30, is going to talk so much that it'll take us past 4 o'clock. What do you think?
We can't hang up on him.
Yeah, but what are you going to hang up on Bill Walton? He's a Hall of Famer.
Once he starts talking about the colors and the uniforms,
George, do you still have that
unicorns?
Do you still have that clip of Bill Walton I played yesterday on the show? You know, I think Bill should still be asked to be part of the March Madness. Here's now he's kind of Bill's kind of only safe for cable now. Here's something he said to Dave Pasch in a game he did a couple weeks ago on ESPN.
Yeah, have you ever been high off the ground and you try to find it on the way down? Please, you ever listen to Tom Petty learning to fly, trying to figure out how to come down afterwards?
Mm-hmm. Ethan Thompson.
Pasch just goes back to doing the game.
I like when Pasch goes, uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, so Bill's coming up at 3:30. But go ahead, I interrupted you.
All right, so first of all, if you haven't already registered for opening day tickets, you can do that. Go to Dodgers.com. You register for opening day tickets. There is a lottery. I have entered the lottery. And if I win those tickets for opening day, John, I will give them away somehow.
You will not. You'll go yourself.
No, I'm on the air that day. I will give them away somehow.
Okay.
For opening day on April the 8th. Now, here there are all kinds of...
Give me some food, will you, big guy?
I had to play it, man. I've been previewing his clips, and that made me laugh.
It's a funny one. It's a funny one. So here is the deal for Dodger Stadium on opening day. If the city or if the state is still in the red zone, they'll be able to put 20% of fans, 20% of capacity. If, and it's possible by the ninth, we go to the orange tier, that would allow 33% capacity. All tickets will be issued digitally and scanned at ballpark entrances from a mobile device. Fans will be seated in physically distanced pods of 2 to 6 people. Social distancing encouraged. All purchases inside the tournament will be cashless and contact-free. So, John, that means no more cash, and I think this is a permanent thing.
Yeah, a lot of stadiums are doing this.
And the other thing that I think is interesting is everybody aged 2 and older must wear a mask except when eating or drinking. Neck gaiters, which you see a lot of people wearing, bandanas and masks with valves do not qualify as face coverings. And you've got to buy parking in advance. So all that stuff. But it's possible, if things keep going in the right direction, that we could see 33% capacity on opening day, which is April the 8th. The 9th, I'm going to go to that game. The 9th is a Friday night. Friday night game. I'm very, very excited for baseball season. This is going to be such a great team. It starts 1 week from today. Clayton Kershaw on the mound for yet another season opener.
The thing that I'm most excited about is that we're getting fans back in the building, because I think once this happens, while you were gone, we had a story that the UFC is holding an event in Florida next month where they're doing full capacity in an indoor arena. It's going to be like 17,000 fans, as if everything was normal. And I think if that goes well, that it'll open the door for...
You see how many people they're going to allow at the Canelo Alvarez fight?
No, how many?
60,000 at Cowboy Stadium.
Okay, but Mace, the thing Michael and I talk about the most off the air is how we got to get the fans back.
Oh, sure, sure.
I mean, it's like it's such a difference with no fans.
So Miami, the Heat, has redefined VIP in the COVID era. It's vaccinated important people.
Okay.
They will have sections at American Airlines Arena
exclusively
for vaccinated fans.
Well, I think that's smart. And by the way, Mace, we were talking about this the other day. When you get your second shot, are you going to have some type of proof of vaccination? Is there going to be a vaccine passport that you'll be able to show
people? It's funny. There's a little card, but I don't know. I guess this card is the official thing. That's the one thing we haven't figured out is how to create a passport that says I'm vaccinated.
Hey, Michael, you're old enough to get your vaccine. Have you done it yet?
Monday. I'm going Monday at 10 o'clock.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And then my second one is April 26th.
Excellent, Michael. Good. Yeah. I'm relieved about you.
Well, I've been hearing about people getting COVID after the second vaccine. But what Amanda was saying earlier was if you do get it, it doesn't affect you as much if you've had it, the double vaccine. That's
My not stepdad Leo was down for a day with just like body aches, and that was it. So I'm getting mine on Saturday. I'm excited to do it, and I feel like
does it hurt?
No.
Well, just a little, you may have after effect.
As Larry David would say, just a little prick.
Just. Yeah, that's what Larry would say.
That's what Larry David says. When he went to the doctor for his checkup.
Michael.
What?
God, Michael.
You know, when you get stuck, it's another word for stuck, Mace. Get your mind out of the gutter.
What do we do with you? But I think ultimately that's the answer. Like, I don't know why every arena wouldn't have a vaccinated section.
I don't know if they're doing a vaccinated, but I know the Warriors are trying to get something progressive up there so they could get fans back in.
Yeah, they're trying to do a testing program where they test people before they go in. But why not just open it up to vaccinate? I mean, ultimately, I don't know. I feel like it's a responsibility to get vaccinated.
A lot of the NBA players now are getting vaccinated, a lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of them are. Whole teams are getting vaccinated. New Orleans got vaccinated. Atlanta got vaccinated.
Ramona reported yesterday that the Lakers may do it this week or next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's smart. It's smart. I mean,
what if a player doesn't want to do it?
You can't. They're not going to make them, at least not now. They're not going to make it mandatory. They're leaving it up to the individual players. But, Michael, if a player does do it, the restrictions ease up on that player. He's not subject to daily testing. He's allowed to have fans come visit him on the road.
Oh, yeah.
It makes your life a lot easier. You should talk to Clay about this. I know he's not traveling with the Warriors now, but my guess is that Clay would do it just because it improves his quality of life.
Yeah, I'd definitely encourage him to do it.
Yeah, and I saw today, who got it on TV? I think Arsenio Hall.
Yeah, Arsenio Magic and who was a couple of another celebrity with those guys?
Arsenio Magic, you're right. I saw this crowd get their vaccines.
Danny
publicly.
Trejo was
yeah,
the
Danny
third.
Trejo.
There you go,
yeah.
Danny Trejo. I've got his biography right here that I'm about to read.
Ruggedly handsome.
Yes, very rugged, Michael. Very rugged.
That's right. Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Big Rams fan, Danny Trejo.
Big Rams fan. Yes, he is. He's got an amazing life story. All right, why don't we make a little room? Because we've got Bill Walton coming up next.
Live?
Yes.
Yes, Michael, live.
They're worried that he's going to talk so long that we won't have time for Game of Games. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, just say, Bill, how you doing? And let's let him go from there for the next 10
minutes. Let him go. The colors and the unicorns.
Woof, woof.
Leprechaun.
Give me some food, will you, big guy?
Tom Petty. Rolling Stones. Grateful, give me shelter.
Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead. All right, so Bill Walton is coming up next. We'll talk some NCAA tournament with him, do a little goofing around. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So what's going on, people? We appreciate you being out there. A lot going on today. The Lakers stood pat at the trade deadline. They wound up making no deal. They're waiting for the buyout market, which could be very productive for them. There were significant trades. Victor Oladipo to Miami, I think, was significant. Aaron Gordon to Denver was significant. And Rajon Rondo to the Clippers was significant. I think those were the three that jumped out at me, John. What about you?
Yeah, and because I'm a Western Conference guy, Denver and the Clippers, I think, are both going to move up. I think they're going to be higher seeded. That could be 1-2, Denver and the Clippers. Utah didn't really do anything. The Lakers stood pat, and plus the Lakers are battling through these injuries. But I now think Denver and the Clippers are going to be in the top three, probably with Utah. I just don't know what order. What order do you think? Do you agree with me those are the top three now?
Yeah, I do agree with you. I think it's going to go Utah, Clippers, and Denver.
So you think Utah's going to hold?
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to. You know, they didn't get any better, but they didn't get any worse.
What about Phoenix?
I think Phoenix will be right there.
Phoenix is in play. I think Phoenix winds up the four.
Those are the four teams that are going to have home court, Michael.
Yeah, it's all a moot point as long as we're healthy, and depending on where Andre Drummond goes.
Where does Andre Drummond go is a big question,
Mr. Drummond. Call him Mr. Drummond.
Mr. Drummond?
That's right. Hey, Mr. by the way, when Drummond. Walton comes on, make sure you guys ask him about that 1973 finals against Memphis. Did you see his box score?
Yeah, I know. That's the burning question everybody's been talking about today.
But did you know about his box score? Finals.
Wasn't he 21 of 22 from the field?
21 of 22 from the field, Mace. And the one he missed was a questionable goaltending call on Larry Keenan. He should have been 22 for 22. And Mace just dismisses it like, yeah, nobody cares.
Well, hey, Michael, I would argue that Bill Walton was the second greatest college player ever.
Yeah, he is. Behind who, Mace?
Second greatest college, Kareem.
Oh, there you go.
Kareem was 88-2.
Well, no, Lou Alcindor was.
Yeah, and Walton was 86-4.
Yeah, Walton's definitely
But Walton did get to be the main, he was the main part of that 88 straight winning streak. You know,
was
when
he?
They,
yeah, that's right, yeah.
That Bill was the backbone of that team.
Who broke that streak, Mace?
I will say Houston.
I bet your grandfather was watching, Mace. That's a hint.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame broke it.
Oh, yeah, my grandpap was a huge Notre Dame fan. Buried in a Notre Dame sweater.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. He loved Notre Dame. Nice. Called him once during the Notre Dame game.
That was my team growing up in the Bahamas. I love Terry Hanratty and the era, Parsegian era.
All right. Okay. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the one and only Bill Walton. Bill, great to have you. How are you?
John Ireland.
What
Laker
is up, man?
Radio station, KMPC 710. I'm alive. I'm well. I'm married to Lori. The Pac-12 is doing fantastic in the men and the women's side. The Lakers are the defending champion. LeBron James, oh my gosh, spectacular everything ever. And I'm talking to John Ireland. What more could a man ask for in life? And there's a light rain coming down in San Diego, and the plants are happy as can be, although it is throwing some a cog into my afternoon bike ride here. But I'd rather be talking to John Ireland here.
Wow.
Okay.
Not just John.
Well, I'm here too.
Well, Steve Mason's here, and so is Michael Thompson, one of your old adversaries.
No way.
That's right,
Steve
Bill.
Steve Mason and Michael Thompson were here. Why didn't they tell me that? I would have come on earlier.
So, Bill, how surprised are you at the success of the Pac-12 in the tournament?
I'm not surprised at all. Pac-12 is the conference of champions. Pac-12 has been the huge contributor to the NBA, and it's all the players have left, but that's the way college basketball goes right now. I have the privilege of calling all the games for ESPN and the Pac-12 network, and to see how well these guys have do top to bottom. Top to bottom, we have incredible coaches, athletic directors, schools, and players. And so what's happening there now, you know, we had five teams get in. There should have been more, because Stanford was going to have a great season. Arizona State was going to have their best season ever. They were just totally decimated by injuries. Washington State is a team on the rise that has fantastic potential, and the Kyle Smith hire up there in Pullman has just been spectacular. And the surprising thing to me in the Pac-12, because, you know, you got four teams on the men's side in the Sweet 16, and you got three teams on the women's side. The surprising thing is that they fired Larry Krzyzewski up in Utah. And because I'm a huge Larry Krzyzewski fan, I want to play for him. He's got so much knowledge, so much experience, such a great teacher, such a great leader, and all his players left for the NBA. So, you know, it's very, very tough. And now with UCLA on a serious rise to the top right now, because UCLA has a coach. This guy, Mick Cronin, is fantastic. Martin Jarman, the new athletic director, oh, my gosh, what an incredible find. And then the partnership that UCLA and Martin Jarman were able to make with Nike and Brand Jordan, that's just going to change everything, you know, in the positive direction for UCLA. We could not be happier. And I'm speaking both I'm speaking as a broadcaster. I'm speaking as a fan. I'm also speaking as an alum.
Okay, so Bill.
I want the Pac-12 to just do great across the board.
Bill, you led the Portland Trailblazers to the NBA title in 1977, and in the very next year, they used their first-round pick on Michael Thompson
a couple years later,
and they never won an NBA title again. Did Michael Thompson ruin the dynasty you built in Portland?
That's not true at all. Very little of that last statement is true.
Thank you, Bill.
Michael Thompson is as fine a human being,
wow,
as great a dad, a terrific basketball player, and someone who I desperately wanted to play with. Now, we had to get rid of, we had to trade Johnny Davis, but I was already gone and injured,
yeah,
and they wanted Michael to take my place. So please, John, if you're going to make bold, audacious, outlandish
yes,
statements like that,
that's right,
please have the story correct.
Thank you, Bill.
And Michael Thompson went on to be a multiple-time NBA championship and a champion. And you have this scenario, you know, in life. And I was fortunate to learn this lesson at the very early age. I mean, I had the greatest childhood ever. And, you know, the most wonderful parents, although they had zero interest in sports. Every coach and teacher that I had as a child was a John Wooden and Chick Hearn disciple. I had Chick Hearn in my ear every single day. And then I got to play for John Wooden. And so they all talked about the value of the team. And when I was 15 years old and being recruited by John Wooden and Denny Crum, they told me, they said, "Bill, it's not how good you are. It's how good your teammates are. And that's why you come to a school like UCLA. That's why you join a team like the Lakers. That's why you join a team like the Blazers." We were honored to have Michael Thompson as a Blazer.
Thank you.
And honored, go ahead.
So Bill, I was gonna ask you, because when I watch a game and you're doing it, I am just riveted by it. And the one thing I wonder about is, do you feel like sometimes Dave Pasch gets in your way of doing the whole Bill Walton thing?
Who is this you're mentioning, please?
Dave, what? You remember Dave?
Oh, that guy that sits next to me and says all the crazy things? Oh, my God. I mean, he usually goes by the name of Cole or Bill Payer or Placeholder. Or he's got a new moniker now, you know, because he's the head, you know, he always comes up with these crazy conspiracy theories.
Yes,
and
he's
so,
the guy.
You know, he leads the, you know, this new conspiracy cult called DeAnon. And so it's just, it's all very, very weird. But, and I don't really understand it. But
hey, Bill, does anybody beat
you?
Go ahead.
I love broadcasting the games. I love broadcasting the games. And, you know, those of us who are privileged to have grown up in Southern California and to have, you know, Bob Miller, Vin Scully, Chick Hearn, Ralph Lawler, all these remarkable broadcasters, you know, who were the most important people. Now John is the voice of the Lakers on the radio right now. And so he has and Michael, you're still on the show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, still there, still with the Ireland. Yeah. Hey, Bill, if you were coming, Bill, let me ask you a question. If you were coming along today, would you be a one and done player?
I wanted to play college basketball.
All 4 years.
I knew Michael. I wanted to play for UCLA. I was John Wooden's easiest recruit. Now, I became his worst nightmare, and I drove the poor guy to an early grave at 99. But I knew. I knew right away that I was going to be in the NBA, that was not an issue for me. I started playing against NBA players when I was 14 years old. And the Rockets, now Houston Rockets, came to San Diego. And the initial team was Jim Barnett, still with the Warriors, Pat Riley doing a phenomenal job in Miami. And then you had John Block from USC, and you had Don Kogis from Marquette. Mm-hmm. And those guys were the first year. And then the very immediate future after that, Elvin Hayes, Rudy Tomjanovich, Calvin Murphy, and Stu Lance all came along. Now, the guys who were running the team, the coach and the managers and the business guys in the front office, that was Pete Newell, Alex Hannum, Tex Winter, and Jack McMahon.
Wow.
And literally everyone in that whole group is in the Hall of Fame, and they're certainly in the Hall of Fame of life. And here was little Billy, and I had the key to the gym. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's calling me every day to open the gym, which was no problem because that's what I wanted to do. But my dream, my heroes as a child were in sports, it was Bill Russell and Muhammad Ali. And then when Kareem came to California and came to UCLA, that changed everything for everybody forever. And then you had, the fantastic championship teams in the early days of Walt Hazard and Gale Goodrich and Keith Erickson and Kenny Washington and Fred Slaughter and a bunch of other guys on that team, which was such an appealing team, which is when I've been watching this year's tournament, how fantastic it has been because beside the story of the Pac-12 and our congratulations to Oregon and USC and UCLA and Oregon State still being alive there, but it's not about getting to the Sweet 16. It's about winning the championship.
Yep.
And I was looking at Illinois as the best team. While I'm a loyal Chicago fan because of Brian McIntyre, a great friend of Michael Thompson's and mine, and of LaRue Martin, a fantastic player who was miscast in the beginning of his career. When Loyola Chicago came out and I watched them totally dismantle Illinois, it was amazing to me. This guy, Porter Moser, I hope I'm saying his name correctly.
You
He's
are.
The only Porter Moser that I know.
Yeah.
And so he has a team. He has a team that's built around like five or six guys who are all exactly like Steve Nash. And then it's like they have Dave Cowens in the center position. And it's just so fun. And the back cuts and the coming off screens and the initiation of the offense through a creative center. That was Michael Thompson. Michael Thompson was that guy.
Wow.
And Michael's ability to initiate the offense, Thompson was the number one overall pick in the history of the NBA. And there's very few people, so I please wish you would quit disrespecting.
Michael, we should bring Bill on the game.
I like that. Hey, Bill, 48 years ago tomorrow, you went 21 of 22 from the field. That never gets talked about. Do you feel disrespected?
No. Look, I played to win. I had my chance, and I played to win.
Do you remember, Bill, do you remember the one shot you missed?
Yes, I do.
That was a goaltending by Larry Keenan, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. You don't get credited with a miss on a goaltend.
Yeah, Michael, what are you talking about?
It wasn't
Michael,
called.
I have huge respect for John Ireland. I remember John at the beginning of his career. John is like one of our children. And, he's just like such a special dude and to see how far he's come. But he misstated the lead in to that story because I was 25 for 26 in that game. And they took four baskets away from me because in those days you could not dunk.
Right.
And I went up and I got the great pass. I mean, our team, I loved playing at UCLA. Greg Lee, Jamal Wilkes, Larry Holyfield, Larry Farmer, Marcus Johnson, Henry Bibby, Sven Nader, Pete Bergovich, Andre McCarter. Line them up, knock them down, right? And so we were having a good day, and the ball was really moving around.
It was, Bill, it was an unbelievable performance.
Yeah,
hey, Bill, we got to go, but we could talk to you forever.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear you're healthy and doing well. Thank you for doing this.
I love John Ireland. I love Steve Mason. Steve, are you there? I love Michael Thompson.
All right.
And I want the best for Klay Thompson. Let's go.
Bill, say hi to Lori. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, enjoy.
25 of 26.
Wow.
I remember those. That's right. They took four baskets away because you couldn't dunk the
ball. Michael, could you dunk at Minnesota? Was that rule
still on? They reinstated the rule by the time I got there. How stupid was that?
It's weird to look at that old footage.
Yeah,
threes. When they were not allowed to dunk,
right,
when the game was played completely below the rim.
I'll make a shortened version of Game of Games, but we'll get it in next.
Games and Game of Games sponsored by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It is in their name. They are our plumber. They want to be yours, too. Call 1-800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. In the month of March, Lindsay has won 8 times. John Ireland has won 7. Me and Jorge, 2 apiece. Ramona won 2 somehow. And Michael Thompson yet to scratch for the month of March. And John's game today. What do you got?
All right, here we go. Today was the NBA trade deadline. This is Lindsay, Jorge, Michael, and Mace. I will describe somebody who was once involved in a famous sports trade. It can be any sport. As soon as you know who I'm talking about, buzz in. Your name is your buzzer. Here we go. This player played for 8 teams in his career, but was one of the most feared hitters in baseball history. Among the teams he was traded to at one point of his career was the Dodgers. He won 2 World Series titles. His best years were with the Indians and later the Red Sox.
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
Manny Ramirez.
Manny Ramirez is correct, and Lindsay's on the board.
We always put Manny Ramirez in there for Lindsay.
Yeah. I do. Okay.
It's my favorite.
Number 2. This player is in the Hall of Fame and was only traded once in his career. Like Michael, he was a former number 1 overall pick in the NBA draft. He grew up in New York, went to college in L.A., and played the majority of his career with the Lakers.
Mason.
Mace.
Kareem.
Kareem is correct. Michael, how did you let Mason get that?
I was just getting ready to say it.
Okay. This player was involved in one of the biggest trades in sports history. At the time he was traded, he was indisputably the best player in his sport. He was traded for $15 million.
Mason.
Mace.
Herschel Walker?
No. All right, I'll keep reading. Lindsay.
Babe Ruth?
No. So Michael and Jorge still alive.
All right.
He was traded for $15 million, 2 players, and 3 first-round draft picks. The city he was traded to was Los Angeles. His nickname is the Great One.
Michael.
Michael.
Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky is correct.
Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, George wasn't going to get that.
Mason won, Lindsay won, Michael won.
Yeah, everybody's doing good.
And Michael on the board with the stereotype.
all right. This player was traded twice during his career, a career that saw him win 2 titles. He was a great college player and the number 1 overall pick in the draft. He's now more famous as the father of an
Michael,
NBA star.
Michael, Michael,
Michael.
Me.
It's Michael.
Oh, God. I should have saw that coming.
You got that? Me, Lindsay. Me.
Okay, here we go. Michael's got
That's
2.
That's my
Lindsay
line.
One. Yeah. All right. This player was involved in the largest trade in sports history. It involved 18 players and draft picks.
Mason.
Mace.
I'm going to go Herschel Walker again.
You're right. Herschel Walker and Mason has tied Michael. Mason 2. Michael 2.
Come Lindsay on, George. Say something, George.
You out there, George?
Yeah, I'm working over here.
Okay, here we go. This future Hall of Famer was traded twice on the same day. He's still playing in the NBA's Western Conference. On the day he was traded the first time, Mason and I were on the air and announced
Mason.
It. Mace.
Pau Gasol?
No.
No, he's still playing.
No.
Crap.
All right. On the day he was traded the first time, we were on the air and announced it, but the trade was disallowed.
Oh, Michael. Okay. Michael.
Chris
Paul.
Chris Paul is correct. And makes the lead.
Yes. I needed to wait a little bit longer.
That's
we
right.
were on the air right. that day.
This player was traded for 6 guys, 3 active players, and 3 first-round draft picks. Although early reports accused the team of overpaying for one player, his team won a title in his first year on the roster. He currently plays the defending world champs of his sport.
Michael. Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis is correct. And if my and you guys need to only Mason can catch you.
Yes.
So anybody but Mason, and this thing is over.
Okay.
Okay. This player also won a championship the very first year after he was traded. He's related to Meghan Markle. Michael.
Pau.
No.
Ah, okay.
All right, Lindsay and George are still alive. If he related to Meghan Markle, the
Jorge.
Former Dutch Jorge.
Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts is right. Jorge gets on the board, but
how
Michael
is he related?
They're related? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are they related?
They are related. They're distant cousins.
Yeah. Primos.
Wow.
Yeah, and so.
Thanks for saving me, George.
So right. Michael.
Michael's the winner.
With the win.
Michael gets that. Michael, that one was worth 2.
Yes.
That was worth 2.
So me and Mesa tied now?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
All right.
And it's
tied
my game tomorrow.
And you might get another
back here
chance tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be here tomorrow.
Excellent.
All right, I want to mention this segment of the show brought to you by Santa Monica Lincoln, your Los Angeles Lincoln dealership for sales and service. So that's going to wrap it up for us. We are back tomorrow at 12:55 sharp. Don't forget Fast Track every single day at 1:55 sharp. And coming up next for you, before we get to the Lakers basketball, Lakers versus Philly tonight, we've got Sedano, LZ, and Cap, followed by Spock and the Jock on pregame. Thanks a lot for listening. I ran out of stuff to say. 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, ESPN.